Item number eight.
From the County Executive, appointing Paula Lucy to the position of Director of the Behavioral Health Division, Department of Health and Human Services.
Good morning.
Floyd Catholic High School, home of the Crusaders, now closed.
All right.
Good morning, Chairwoman Supervisors. I am very confident all of you know the woman to my left, Ms. Paula Lucy. Ms. Lucy has been a national leader in the public health sector for most of, not all of her career. She's been an executive nurse fellow with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. She has a master's and bachelor's degree in nursing, is working towards a doctorate as we speak. She has an incredibly challenging job. She effortlessly balances the concerns of her staff, her clients' families, and the county executive and the county board. She has endless patience with what we in our end view as a very complex work environment, and we are thrilled today to be bringing forth Paula's nomination for your consideration, and we very hope that you will support her in that endeavor. Thank you very much.
Okay. I've got Supervisors Harris, Stamper, and Sanfilippo. In that order, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say that, first of all, I am really excited to approve your reappointment to Milwaukee County. I think you've done a phenomenal job. Paula, it's been great working with you, so I'm excited to do this and want to move approval on her appointment. So, and thanks for what you've done so far. I think you've been a great leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did those comments.
Okay. No. All right. Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've come to know Ms. Lucy. Over the last couple of years, we served together on the Citizen Advisory Board, and I understand the position that you're in and the job that you have, but I'm going to ask that the committee vote against the approval for her reappointment, and then at which time I'd make a motion to lay it over. There's a couple reasons that I think we need to get a little more information before we move forward. And let me start by saying, it isn't an easy task that you have out there at the BHD. We know that beginning probably since about 2010 or a little bit prior, a lot of issues had come to light out there, some of them exacerbated because of the gubernatorial race that was going on. But nonetheless, it brought a lot of things to light. The HSRI report then came out in the fall of 2010, which gave us a list of recommendations for approvals that needed to be done. HSRI was the third report that really was done over the course of the last couple of decades. And my concern was that once we seen HSRI, we were just going to have the problem with that report. What happened with the first two is that it was on the front burner, and once the report was done, it was kind of forgotten about and no improvements were made. So there were many task forces that were put together, the Citizen Advisory Board being just one of them. And all of them, then the new Mental Health Facility Committee, and I think there was a total of five or six different task forces, all of them came through with some very specific recommendations of improvements that needed to be done out there. During the time that we discussed extensively on the new Behavioral Health Facility Committee, I know time and time again we made the point that we were worried that no real clear improvements were going to be made, and that, you know, we recognized that there were some serious issues that needed to be addressed for our patients and our clients out there, and we didn't want this to kind of get relegated to the back burner. So when our chairwoman of this committee, Supervisor West, came up with a resolution in April of 2011 that actually created the redesign task force. And in fact, it was file number 11284. And one of the be it resolved clauses in the task force, creating the task force, the second from the last be it resolved clause said that the task force was created and it was supposed to create a data-driven implementation plan for the mental health redesign in Milwaukee County, which shall be submitted for review and approval by the Milwaukee County Board. Now, that task force was constituted over a year ago in April of 2011, but to date, we still have not seen the redesign plan at the for the BHD. And I understand that the plan itself is going to be dynamic and it's going to be changing as it's put in progress. But hundreds and probably thousands of hours have been spent by volunteers, not only of the redesign task force, but of all the other committees that were put in place. And we have some very clear-cut goals that we want to achieve. And as the head of BHD, I expected that we would have long time ago seen compliance with the resolution from the board as to what that roadmap is for improvement. In several of the resolutions that were passed, all regarding the BHD and the redesign and the improvement, almost every single one of those resolutions said one common thing, and that was that we all agreed that we wanted to transition the delivery of service model from an institutionalized setting that we currently run, and we have been running for the last 40 years, 45 years, into the community-based care. And we are not there yet. And we're 2 years away from HSRI. And other than a few improvements that have been done, like the intensive treatment unit and the gender unit, and not that those aren't insignificant, those are very important, but those are just two of a huge number of changes that have to be done, and we just haven't seen the roadmap yet. So I can't help but get the feeling that, you know, we're just kind of, you know, and I use the word floundering, and I don't want to make it in a negative sense, because I realize it is a very difficult task that you have at hand. But what we need is a very strong leader that's going to take all those committee recommendations and put an action plan together and bring it back to this board to say, these are the goals that we want to achieve. We have specific recommendations. List them in order of importance and give us some dates on how they're going to be, when they're going to be implemented. Give us some benchmarks so that we can follow through and see that improvements are really being made, because quite frankly, we really are no closer today than we were the day that HSRI report came out, for, you know, 95% of the recommendations in there. And if this is the best that we can do, then we're failing our responsibilities as a board to make sure that we're providing the best quality of care for the clients out there, and also we're failing the taxpayers who are paying the bill. So I would really, before we continue forward and make this appointment permanent, I would really like to see that action plan come forward that we've been waiting for over a year to tell us exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to get things done. We haven't seen that. And maybe it's just that you have too much on your plate. I understand that is, you know, that you have a lot of balls in the air over there. That's why, you know, 2 months ago I reluctantly voted to approve the contract with Zia Partners, mm-hmm. because I thought, okay, at least we're going to bring somebody in here that's going to focus and put all of these recommendations together and give us that roadmap. Now, Zia's been here for 2 months. I had expected to see a plan that I had asked for at the last meeting to tell us, you know, what is Zia doing for the $240,000 that we have given them as consultants to put this together. I mean, time is wasting here. We're 2 years away from HSRI. We're almost 3 years out. No, two. That was 2010. We're over a year out from the implementation of the redesign task force, but we're not seeing any benefits or any improvements that are coming. And worse than that is we're not seeing a game plan of how they're going to be done. Then we see the, you know, Jerry's, the report from the audit department that came out last month. And as I'm reading this thing, it says that our prescriptions are over $650,000 over budget out at BHD on prescription medication. So as you read in the report, you know, we find out that, well, of the $650,000, we could have recouped $500,000 from Medicare and Medicaid had we have just followed a proper procedure and got pre-authorizations on those medications. And I know there's other issues involved that led to that, but I couldn't help, by reading that audit report, it almost appears that the excuse that was coming through time and time again in that audit report is, well, we're just too busy. We're understaffed. We don't have enough help. We couldn't take time to get the pre-authorizations. I mean, you know, from what I read in the report, you have up to 14 days after the medication is administered to actually go back and get the pre-authorization, but that was never done. So in the end, I mean, that's $500,000 there that, you know, you have a department that already is running a deficit and historically runs a deficit, and that's no reflection on your management. It's just the type of services we provide out there are very costly. I understand that. But then, you know, we have to have controls over the organization. We need leadership to say, you know, put out a formulary of what drugs are going to be pre-approved so that, you know, we're not wasting all that money. And, you know, so, but when you have, again, the underlying excuse that, well, we're just overstaffed, we can't take the time to do it, that's not, to me, that's not an acceptable excuse. You know, we have lots of staff out there. You have a $186 million budget. I mean, there's no excuse for just not doing things properly and losing that $500,000. Then, and I don't want to mention any names for privacy issues, but, you know, I have a constituent that has a family member out at BHD. Mm-hmm. And I was very thankful that you set up a meeting with, I mean, there must have been 10 other staff members there. We brought in the father of this child, and we had a good meeting. But, again, at that meeting, every concern that this poor father had raised as to the care of his child seemed to come back to the same answer. We don't have enough staff. We can't do the job right. We can't do this. We can't do that. We're understaffed. I mean, this child has a medical procedure that is supposed to be followed that was written by a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. and we're having CNAs that don't even know what that treatment plan is watching him. You know, so to me, there's just, and, you know, and then the father complained about, which is a complaint that we've heard multiple times, you know, that they're on their personal cell phones, they're texting. You know, they're dozing off and sleeping at their stations, and the answers that he received, which to me sounded just like excuses. Well, gee, we're understaffed. We can't help it. Those are not excuses. And a parent who has a loved one in our care doesn't want to hear that, gee, we're just too busy to take care of your son because we've got too many things going on. And so I would like to see, I mean, I'm concerned that there's maybe not necessarily, you know, a lack of leadership, but maybe your time, you know, is not being able to be allocated properly. Maybe that, you know, maybe you just have too much to do. But I think we need to see more of an action plan on how we're going to whip this place into shape. It's been, 1990s was the first report, I believe, then early 2000s, and then HSRI in 2010. So this has been going on for 20 years. The problems that our clients and our patients are seeing out there, we know what the issues are. We don't need any more study groups. We don't need any more time to reflect what's going on. We need action. And right now, a year out from creating this redesign committee, we do not see any action plan. We do not know what's going on. And so I'm not saying that I believe you should not be brought forth for this position for consideration. I personally would have liked to seen the department go through a search to try to see if there is somebody out there that can do the job, that's well healed in and experienced in transformations from an institutional to a community-based setting. After all, this board has said on several occasions through multiple resolutions, that is our goal. But nonetheless, we at least need to see a lot of answers and before I'm going to be comfortable with moving forward with this appointment.
Supervisor Mayo?
First, do we have a motion?
Yes. We do, from Supervisor Harris.
Okay. Madam Chair, my esteemed colleague has brought up a number of issues. First, I would like to, Ms. Loosley or Mr. Torres, respond, then I have my comments later.
Okay.
Sure.
Ms. Lucy?
Sure. Actually, I have notes. Okay. So I want to thank particularly the county executive for his confidence and trust. I want to thank Hector Colon for his confidence and support. You know, when Jerry Ledet asked me to come back and do this job, I came back with a big sense of trepidation. This was not an easy position to come into. Let's say things were not going well at BHD. There had been patient incidents. There were tremendous regulatory issues. There were morale issues, tremendous staff vacancies, fiscal issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There had been, as you say, Supervisor Sanfilippo, multiple reports, committees, recommendations and suggestions, but there had been no consistency created out of all of those. My first week at BHD, first day, state surveyors arrived. The second or third day, we had a difficult employee that I ended up suspending for a caregiver misconduct issue. And on the fourth day, I got a letter criticizing me for my behavior at a meeting that I not only didn't attend, I was out of town. So I said to myself, you're home. This is life in the county. I've since then worked with Peggy, Supervisor West, to really create the redesign task force, as you point to consolidate all of the recommendations. There are over 125 recommendations floating around. That's simply impossible. Some of them in conflict with each other. We have broad stakeholder responsibility involvement. We have used many of those recommendations to form our 2012 and now our 2013 budget initiatives. In fact, the task force did present here in January with their recommendations, and we've been moving forward on those ever since. Some of the things that have happened, yes, we did reorganize all of the acute units. The women's treatment unit was created. The intensive treatment unit was created. We did a new de-escalation system so that we've had a decrease of 85% in the numbers of people that have been in seclusion and restraint. We are moving ahead with our plan to downsize Hilltop, something that's been discussed for a long time, but the state plan has now been approved. Guardian meeting is today, and we're working very hard with the clients on their transition skills. And now we're working on creating a new paradigm for what is the old Hilltop, on really looking at that as being a center for development and moving into the community. We did implement 2012 budget initiatives, which has created a new CRC. Supervisor West and Supervisor Bowen were luckily at the grand opening. We have a new discharge program, which has started to accept clients, and will greatly improve our recidivism rate. We have new respite beds. In crisis, we've been working to shift the paradigm. We've been working to... we're announcing today a change in our paradigm as it relates to our relationship with MPD. We've been long trying to figure out a way to make Chapter 51's emergency detentions less of a legal activity, more of a clinical activity, and this is a way that we're going to be doing that. We have a 37% increase in the amount of transfers to private hospitals, another issue that was a recommendation from HSRI. And so, in fact, many months we transfer more clients to private hospitals than we admit to our hospital. That is leading to our decrease in our census, which will allow us to close the unit. It's just one of our 2013 budget initiatives. And at the same time, the work that's being done on the units in terms of groups and whatnot is decreasing our length of stay, which is also going to allow us to close a unit. Fiscally, 2011 was the best result financially for BHD in the past 5 years. We're having contract negotiations with the managed care organizations. Our billing times have greatly improved, and so financially we're working very hard on our financial health as well. I think quality has been one of the bigger issues that I've been trying to work on. We have created a brand new quality council where each and every department is required to report on how they are using data to improve their activities. We are anticipating our Joint Commission application this month or next month. We've revised our orientation to give our staff better opportunities to work together. We've been working on our staff vacancies, and in fact, we're looking at both short-term and long-term recruitment efforts. This year, for the first time in a long time, we have 4 groups of nursing students in our building getting clinical experience. That's important for us in terms of our long-term recruitment of nursing staff, but it also is very important for us in terms of our own staff and helping our own staff to think through their practice. I've gotten a grant from the Fame and Beth Foundation to have two PhD nurses in our building, helping us looking at our data and really looking at some research-based practice. We've revised the staffing plans on every unit in order to make sure that the staffing patterns are as close as possible to living within our budget. And we have just this month implemented a morale activity, which is being led by our employees. Last week was Smile Week, Give a Smile, Get a Smile. But we've done work, we've done a survey of our employees looking for caregiver fatigue, which is the new phrase for burnout. And from that, we're developing 6 months of activities to work on that. In the Community Services Division, in addition to the budgeted initiatives I've talked to you about, we're working very hard on the psychosocial aspects of mental health, housing, employment, and peer support. We brought to you the request that we join the state in a request for a CRS benefit, and we appreciated your support, and we look forward to hearing from the state. One of our redesign activities that I think has not gotten a lot of attention has been our Access Clinic redesign, and perhaps that's my fault for not bringing that forward. Access Clinic used to be called Walk-in Clinic, but really what it was get there at 5 o'clock in the morning and hope for a slot clinic. We have completely changed that around in terms of having a clinician there at all times. Everyone who shows up at Access Clinic is seen. And another huge improvement that we have made at Access Clinic is referring individuals to outpatient therapy so that they can get long-term support, not just medication support. I certainly agree, but we need to look at the medications. We've done a lot of work as it relates to the encouragement of peer specialists. We've made it clear to our providers that we contract with that we are looking to have peer specialists being involved. At the end of this month, we're sponsoring a seminar for employers on how to hire peer specialists, how to work with them as their employees. And we are also this month bringing forth, as requested by the board, a change in the peer specialist vendor for VHD. The wraparound program has two new programs that have been initiated in the past couple of years. One is a voluntary program, and the other is a program for children aging out of child welfare, 18 to 25. We also have a new level of targeted case management in our budget for 2013. So we have done a lot. Is there a lot to do? You bet. And we have many, many challenges moving forward, and I look forward to trying to work on those challenges. The number one question that I've gotten, and I've asked to have my name came forth of the county executive, said that I'd be willing to stay after this instead of being a contract employee. The number one question I've gotten is, why in the world are you doing this? And people very sincerely have asked me that question. They said, you know, you have a national reputation and a national network. You have a pension. You have a successful consulting business. Why don't you just stay home, take more cruises? Everybody knows I love cruising. Take more cruises, watch daytime TV. Why take the risk? You've served Maquoketa County very well. You've been a chief nurse at the Doyne. You oversaw the incredibly historic transition from a public hospital to the Gantt program. You were the director of DHHS. You've done your duty. Why are you taking this risk, and why would you step forward? Well, frankly, I think leadership is about risk, and so it is about taking the risk to step forward personally. This is interesting and exciting work. I think that I have the skills and experience to do this, and I have mostly a very strong and deep passion for the clients that we see, particularly the underserved, which have always been the subject of my practice. So, will there still be safe surveyors? You bet. Will there still be employee issues, employees doing things I wish they weren't doing, talking on their cell phones? You bet. Will there still be criticism? For sure. But I am still very excited about this position, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo, you still have the floor.
Thank you, but there is one question that you did not answer, Ms. Lucy, is what about the design program that we're supposed to go into? Where is that located right now? We are going to be out for 2 years, and we need to make sure that we understand how we're going to transfer our patients, our clients, back into the community, and which ones will stay within Milwaukee County. Where are you at that right now?
I think that we have moved a number of those initiatives forward. As I've said, I think the initiative, the number one initiative about moving people into the community, as I said, we're looking to close a unit. We have done, as I've said, a number of activities this year and continue to do activities next year to support people in the community. I'm sorry that people don't feel that we've submitted our plan, but we will certainly do that. Zeta Partners is working with us on that, and we anticipate bringing that forth very shortly.
What is your definition shortly, Ms. Lewis?
Within the month.
All right. Reason why I'm going to support you, and I was one of the individuals who asked you why you're coming back to Milwaukee County. And I know that you have a passion for the people that we serve. And I told you coming to a situation where Milwaukee County is going through a lot of transition. And we would like your expertise. And I know you have the passion. But, you know, I could be one of your biggest supporters and I could be one of your biggest critics. And in particular when it comes to our clientele that we've served and the people of Milwaukee County. And we need that information as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Supervisor Mayo. I believe we have another speaker. Supervisor West.
Thank you very much. I obviously am very much in support of this appointment, but I did want to, I also wanted to just to rebut a little bit. I'm going to take responsibility for the fact that some members of this committee are not aware of what's going on with the redesign committee. Supervisor Harris and I have discussed this on several occasions, the fact that we get monthly updates at agenda setting. The redesign has been paramount, and so it's right here. And so I'm very comfortable with it. I know that we're moving forward. I go to the ZIA meetings. You know, I have a very clear, and I'm actually very proud of the work that we've done, and I believe Supervisor Harris is as well, with the redesign. The fact that the rest of the committee is not as up to date with that is a problem. And so that is something that we will work on. In regards to the HSRI, and I know maybe some people will disagree, but I just want to say for the record that as immediately upon receiving the HSRI study, then Director Jerry Lyday began working on that. And to be honest, I mean, every month when that study came before us, there were things that were done that we didn't even ask her to do. The safety aspects of it were done before we even had it before us. A lot of the staffing, anything that had to do with the facility, you know, all of those things were done. I want to say that I think it speaks very highly of Miss Lucy and the job that she's been doing, that we did have the state surveyors come in less than a month ago because of concerns of a family member, and that the state gave us a clean bill of health and they just walked out of the building. Because there was a time 2 years ago before Miss Lucy got here, actually before Miss, even before Miss Lyday got here, or got into the position of the former director, that Miss Lyday walked into 150 plus violations from the state. And those had to do with the facility, they had to do with the staffing, they had to do with our record keeping. You know, to describe that situation, you can only use the words, I guess, hot mess. And so to have these, you know, to have these ladies and then to have Director Colon come on and to be able to kind of herd these cats and get us to where we are today, I think we have made tremendous progress. And I just want to say for the record that I'm extremely proud of the work that Miss Lucy, Miss Lyday, and Mr. Colon have done. I think, you know, Miss Lucy used to be the director of DHHS. Absolutely, she left a very, you know, good mark on Milwaukee County. For her to come back, she is taking a risk. BHD, as you know, is one of the departments that there is a lot of work. There is work to do. Also, in regards to the redesign, ZIA Partners was also helped with the redesign of Dallas, Texas mental health, which fortunately they said they thought was maybe a little bit bigger mess than ours was. Before they got here, that took 3 years. And so for myself, when we started talking about redesign, when we created this committee, in my mind, it never was something that was going to be done in a year or was going to be done even in 2 years. I also think that there's somewhat of a disconnect when we talk about moving into the community, because for myself, I don't think that we're ever going to come to a point where we have moved everything into the community. For me, in my mind, you know, Dane County is a model. And if someday we can, you know, have a parallel service to what they have, I'll be happy with that. I don't think we're ever going to be completely out of the mental health business. I don't think that's what the goal of this redesign committee is. The other part of the redesign committee is that you have to understand that we're not just redesigning mental health at BHD. We're redesigning mental health within the community. And we've got great partners at the table. We just did the... why do I have such a hard time with this word? The discharge planning. And so we have done that. We've implemented that within Milwaukee County. We now have some of our partners who are doing that. But just for us to fix mental health within Milwaukee County, it's not. We're not going to redesign anything. We're just going to redesign us. You have to take the redesign into the community. We're trying to stop the revolving door that's out at our emergency crisis emergency room. And so in order to do that, you have to have everybody on board. And, again, I think that we have taken tremendous steps, and I apologize for the fact that some members of this committee are not up to date with that, and that is definitely on my co-chair and I's radar, and we will definitely be making sure that, you know, that you guys are up to date and that you know what's going on, because I do think it's important, and again, I think it's something that we can all be proud of. So... thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, I'm speaking to you directly. I'm kind of frustrated when the chair of this committee have withheld information from the committee members, because we would not have this conversation right now if we all had the information in front of us. We need to work transparently, at least with the committee, so we know exactly. If we have questions, we can go to the department heads and say, where are you located? Where are we going? Her vision and the committee vision might be a little bit different. I want to make sure that we serve the residents of Milwaukee County properly. I have concerns about even putting people into the community. And I have been over backwards trying to work with people to say, okay, we have done an excellent job, and now we're trying to bring people into the community. It's going to be very interesting how the community accept individuals with mental health, with a number of different illness with back within the community, because you got to realize you got to place them in an environment that is going to support that individual, and also that community got to be able to support them. But we need the information. Please, Madam Chair and Madam Chair, do not withhold information from this committee. Because we need the information so we, as a committee, make the sound decision for Milwaukee County. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor, for sharing those comments. And we will do a better job. Thanks. Supervisor Taylor, and then Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Supervisor Sanfilippo brought up some very valid questions and some concerns. What's the harm of laying it over for a month and getting us some additional information? I mean, I think this is a very important position. I think Ms. Lucy is very qualified for it. But I think the fact that there's information out there that this committee doesn't know, that I don't know, I think that it raises questions to whether or not this is the right time to make this appointment, whether or not we would just lay it over, bring it back in a month, and in that period of time, bring this committee some further information, because I think some questions have been brought up. So what is the harm of postponing this a additional month? That's the question I have.
Can I have Tia Torres please respond to that question?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and Supervisors. My understanding from the comments from Supervisor Sanfilippo is the request for layover was so that we may conduct a national search. Quite honestly, I don't think the county executive is interested in doing that. We believe we have a great national candidate sitting right beside us that has done some incredibly transformational work over the last numerous years as she served in Milwaukee County. We are happy to provide any information. Paula just did a great job of listing some incredibly difficult transitions that we've worked through, as well as the community of Mental Health Redesign and Implementation Task Force is working on a monthly basis to achieve the community consensus. The redesign process isn't exclusively a Milwaukee County government redesign. It's a Milwaukee County community redesign, and that is a slow process. It's a consensus-building process in which every stakeholder needs to feel comfortable in having those patients work into the community, have the community hospitals start to be comfortable with the level of care that they need to provide that's different than the community care that they're providing now. Ms. Lucy has great relationships amongst hospitals, community nonprofit leaders, providers that are in private practice within the community, and we don't think that that's going to be achieved with any other candidate.
Well, that doesn't answer my question. My question is, what's the harm in delaying it another month? I'm not saying I agree with doing a national search, but I'm asking the question of what's the harm of waiting, of postponing this a month, so that question wasn't answered.
Tia? If there's a specific request for waiting for that month that we could achieve in that month, I think we would consider it. But I don't know if that request was tied to an informational report request versus a process request, which I don't believe that we're going to be interested in pursuing.
Supervisor Sanfilippo had a number of questions, and I understand that.
I thought it was specific.
I thought it was kind of specific, and I understand that Ms. Lucy just ran off 3-4 pages in testimony, but you know, some of the stuff I like to have in writing, I guess, is my concern. And so I think I heard some valid questions. I don't know if every question that Supervisor Sanfilippo had was answered. Okay. So I'm asking why postponing a month. I mean, I have no problem with the candidate at all, but I think there's some questions that this committee needs to know, or I need to probably know. And if like I said, we've just been told that there's information that the chair has that has not disseminated with us, not on purpose, but just that's the fact. So I guess I'm uncomfortable with moving forward and would maybe like to see this postponed and bring back in October.
Thanks for your comment, Supervisor Taylor. Supervisor Sanfilippo and then Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My comment regarding a national search wasn't that I wanted one done. My comment was that were I in the county executive's shoes, I would have conducted a national search, allowed Ms. Lucy to apply for the job, and then made sure we were hiring the best possible person for the job. He chose not to go that route. That's his prerogative, okay? And Ms. Lucy gave us a glowing list of, you know, recommendations on herself, which is fine. And nobody doubts your intentions of why you want to do this job. But good intentions don't always equate to good results. Mm-hmm. And I am not satisfied that the results that this county board and the county executive signed, the resolutions, that the policy we're putting forward is being adhered to. Over 1 year ago, we said in multiple resolutions, we want to transition our care from our institutionalized setting to a community-based, patient-centered form of delivery, okay? We said it now. We said it in early 2000 in that study. We said it in the 1990s in that study. And we're developing a process of everybody says, these are the problems, this is what we have to do, but nothing gets done. And the people who rely on us most, who need our help the most, are the people that are inside that institution. They are relying on us to make the decisions for them. We had testimony at our committee, the facility committee, that nobody could find another county in this entire country that's running an institutionalized setting for mental health care like we're doing in Milwaukee County. Our program is antiquated. It is not providing the best form of delivery for our patients. We decided that as a whole. We decided, we came up with the action plan. We know what the problems are. I mean, I sat alongside you with through hundreds of hours of meetings with users of the system, providers of services from the community, with our own staff. We've identified the problems time and time again. We asked for a data-driven action plan to get us results to fix those problems. We asked for that in April of 2011. We have not seen it yet. Okay. Now, if this committee is satisfied with being ignored and the county executive signed the resolution, he must want the data-driven action plan too. He signed it. We haven't gotten it yet. We don't have the roadmap. Nobody is saying that you're not working hard, your intentions aren't good, there isn't a lot of work to be done, there aren't a lot of corrections that need to be made, but we set a policy to put the patients first. And we need to see that plan on exactly how we're going to do that. And my request for a layover on this appointment is that we see that plan to achieve the policy that was set by this county board as to how we're going to do that. The services are there. Yes, we have to help build the entire community, but again, in our facility committee, we had time and time again, we had multiple users come in, tell us they're ready, willing, and able to help with the services that we need in the community. The primary issue on everybody's mind is funding. Plain and simple. There are good providers in this community. There are advocates who are advocating for changing. At the CAB, we had people from the Waisman Center in Madison. I mean, we're not forging some brand new thing here. There are great models for us to follow. We know what the problems are. We're just not getting the ball moving forward. And my concern throughout this entire process is that 5 years from now, a different county board, a different committee is going to be sitting back here looking at the exact same delivery model of care, the exact same problems we have today, and saying, why didn't these guys fix it again? Here's yet another opportunity that was missed. And all of a sudden, 5 years are gone by and no improvements are made. We asked for that data-driven action plan. We haven't seen it. That's what we need to see. We need to be able to have benchmarks and goals and time frames. Again, nobody in their right mind expects this entire transformation to be done in a year. But
Supervisor,
we have gone farther away. This is a serious situation here.
It is a serious situation, but you're saying the same thing. I'm sorry.
I'm saying the same thing because my earlier words were mischaracterized.
Okay. Your points are valid, but I just want to ask if you can please wrap them up so that someone else can ask a question or make a comment.
Okay.
Are you finished?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Supervisor.
Chairman, may I? Mm-hmm. My understanding is monthly there's a report on some aspect of the mental health redesign that comes before this committee. In January of 2012, there was a large report that came to you that involved many stakeholders that chair subcommittees that talked to you about the decisions that they had made on what they believed were the best action plans to move forward with and how they were ready to implement those. Some of those require transfer funding, which is a budgetary issue. Some of those they were achieving at that date. The co-chairs all expressed their support of this plan. It may not have a timeline that has little check boxes, but there have been, as Ms. Lucy just talked through, there have been significant achievements that the mental health redesign has achieved. We are downsizing the unit. This isn't a fast process. We would be labeled as irresponsible and characterize the put the community at risk if we were to just close the entire BHD facility at once and not have a smooth transition plan. This is a well-thought-out community-based plan that does have support broadly in the community, has been achieving significant results, and we are delivering an incredibly different level of care now than we were 5 or 10 years ago. The way we restrain individuals, the way we have individuals who have transition plans into the community that are living in supported care units and have employment opportunities that they never had before. We are undergoing a significant change right now in the community, and we should all be proud of that. Ms. Lucy has ideas every day on how to forward this plan. They're brought forth to the Mental Health Redesign Implementation Task Force. They're vetted with the community, and they're brought to you in monthly reports. They may be titled a report on a specific aspect, so they aren't necessarily probably in the best format that we could lay out, and I will admit that we can change that, and we can talk about how our goals are being achieved through a different way. But we should be very proud of the last 2 years here. There's been a significant improvement in the way that the most underserved and challenged populations are treated in our community, and that's something we should be very proud of. And Ms. Lucy has been a direct leader in that.
Thank you.
Just ask one question of Ms. Torhurst.
I'll revert to Supervisor Roma West. Is that okay?
Yes.
I know you had a question.
Okay. Ms. Torhurst, you mentioned that this is a well-thought-out plan. Mm-hmm. My question is, what is the plan? That's it in a nutshell. This committee, this county board, has not been provided with a plan. In January, we did get a report of 100-some recommendations that were included in all those. Understood. What is the ranking? What's the most important thing that we need to do? And when are we going to do it? And how are we going to start to do it? That is the whole point I'm trying to make here. Not that people don't have the intentions of doing things. We don't have the plan. So we don't know if progress is being made, and because we don't have any benchmarks to measure that out. And so that's my question. You said this is a well-thought-out plan. What is the plan? Anybody I've asked doesn't know the plan.
It's a complex system, and it changes on a day-to-day basis. The changes that the implementation task force recommends often have a trigger effect that cause the committee to have to consider other aspects: community housing, employment situations, peer support specialists, how local hospitals are going to be dealing with more complex patient loads. All of these things, as we make one step forward, sometimes have a half a step back criteria. So it's very difficult to put a straight timeline on a plan like this. It's very often a weave and a bob and a reaction plan.
But what's the plan?
You can't
put a timeline on the plan. What is the plan?
To have a community-based mental health system that supports the patients.
How are we going to achieve that?
We're going to achieve that by downsizing Hilltop, which we're doing this year in one unit. We're going to be having a community-based program for crisis, which we just opened a community-based crisis resource center. There's multiple things that we've ticked off to achieving a goal. Do we know what number our hospital would like to look like in 5 years? I don't think we do, because we don't know what the community has the bearing to achieve. And until we start to achieve some smaller goals and people feel comfortable, this isn't just our, you know, we could have a hospital forever. I don't think any of us want to have institutionalized care in our community. The plan is to start to move the community towards a community-based program. And that it's a very difficult challenge, and it has multifaceted aspects to it. So we have HSRI. We have a lot of data to drive those decisions. We have the Mental Health Redesign Task Force diligently working on this. We now have a partner in Zia Partners who has done transition plans in the past. This is at the point we are right now. This is an incredible moment. And we're going to, in the next 5 years, see the fruits of that movement. It's not something that's going to be achieved tomorrow. It's something that is very thoughtful and time-consuming. But we can do a better job of showing those results so that we all are on the same page of that the plan is moving forward.
Thank you, Ms. Torhorst. Supervisor West, did you still want to?
I just want to comment that, you know, could we lay this over for another month? We could. I worry about what message that sends to Ms. Lucy. The other thing that I'm really worried about sitting here is the fact that we're really ready to make a decision and send away the most qualified candidate based on one initiative. the mental health redesign is one initiative. It's one thing that Paula Lucy has worked on since she's been here. It is by no means her initiative. She has a co-chair who's in the audience. She has a committee that she works with. And Ms. Tohorst is absolutely correct in saying that consensus is something that takes time. When we first received the $3 million allocation from the county executive to start redesigning mental health, we had providers that came to the meeting who thought they were just going to get a chunk of this money and they were going to be able to run with it and do what they wanted. And so we had to take the time to sit and discuss what exactly do we want to accomplish here. This has been, it's been a process. But to sit and judge Ms. Lucy's job performance based on just this one initiative, I think is very short-sighted. Ms. Lucy runs the BHD, the Behavioral Health Division. She runs the day treatment program. She runs the EMS program. She runs the nursing home aspect of Milwaukee County. And I'm sure there's something else that I'm missing. And so there's so many different aspects of Ms. Lucy's job. She's a multifaceted job. She's a multifaceted woman. To sit here and to put judgment on her based on one program, to me, it would be completely unfair. And again, the redesign belongs to many people and not just Ms. Lucy. Is she steering the ship? She is, but she's not even doing that alone. And so I just really want to caution people that, you know, no, I guess there is no harm in putting this off another month. Do I want to do that? No, I don't. Because, again, in 1 month, Ms. Lucy's job, the fact that she's done it well, that's not going to change. There's always going to be people that are unhappy with the amount of work you do. And as elected officials, I think we know that better than anybody. At the same time, I think that the HSRI study was not allowed to sit on the shelf and get dusty. And in fact, for next month, we'll review and see where we are and how much of that we have accomplished. There's some supervisors on this committee who are probably not familiar with the HSRI study because it happened before they got here. So they need to be brought up to speed. In regards to the mental health redesign, Ms. Tohorst is absolutely correct. We do talk about different aspects of it every month. Do you realize that's what we're talking about? Possibly not. Peer specialists, the different programs that we feature, that we outline every month, those all have to do with the mental health redesign. And that's not announced at the beginning of every, before we read the item. The new Crisis Recovery Center, that was part of the mental health redesign. That wasn't even brought up during any of the comments that anybody made at the grand opening. So do people connect those two things? No, they don't. And so, again, we need to do a better job of just connecting and making sure that people realize that's the information that they're getting. So have we withheld information? No, we haven't. That information has been there. Ms. Lucy sent out the other day via email a sheet of what she's done and what she's accomplished in the last 18 months. We all received that in our email. And so, you know, she's been very open with what it is that she does well. And I think she's been equally as open as to what still needs to be worked on. And so I would ask, just to verify that I am correct in my assertion of Ms. Lucy's job, all of it that it encompasses, that we hear from Director Colon.
Yes. Director Colon.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We would obviously at this point feel very confident in Ms. Lucy's ability to take over and continue her leadership at BHD. We do not feel a layover at this point would be advisable. We think we have the right person at the right time. Ms. Lucy is a person that truly cares, is truly passionate. She's a person with experience in the Milwaukee County system. She knows how to work with the county board, advocates, consumers, and county staff to move things forward. It's a very difficult position. I just want to caution this committee and really the board, if it was the desire to lay this over or do a national search and that takes months and we get a new person in here and they come in here and don't understand how county works, and it could be literally 2 years later and there's no movement in terms of really truly redesigning this system. So we are confident today that we have the right leader. By giving her this confirmation, giving her this opportunity, we believe very strongly that we're going to move forward and start executing on many of these recommendations that have been put forth by various reports. Now, to Ms. Lucy's credit, she had to come and bring all these different interests, all these multiple reports together, and we've done that. We agree with Supervisor Sanfilippo that we need a plan, and we will have that plan. The county executive wants a plan. I want a plan. Ms. Lucy wants a plan, and I know you want a plan as well. But I will say also, so we will have that plan, and that's necessary and something that we will put in place. I will say that there's many of these recommendations that we have already accomplished, and as been said earlier, maybe that message hasn't really gotten out, but there's a lot of work that really has been accomplished, a lot that's going to be accomplished in this budget, and we feel very confident that Ms. Lucy is the one that can help us move this forward. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to take questions from the audience, and I have two cards before me, and I want to thank Ms. Torhorst, Ms. Lucy, and Director Cologne for coming up and testifying on today. You might be called back, but we just want to take these questions for now. All right, we have Dr. Laura Riggle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Chair and
good morning.
Members of the Health and Human Needs Committee, minus Mr. Taylor, who I hope will be returning. Should I continue?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I'm the chief psychologist at the Behavioral Health Division. I'm the past president of the medical staff. I'm the director of day treatment, and I'm the ethics chair. I've worked at the Behavioral Health Division since 1988 when I interned there. I intended to go into academics, and I am on the faculty at the Medical College of Wisconsin and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. However, I never stopped learning. As you know, it's a very interesting and challenging place to be, and we do a lot of teaching at the hospital. It's a very important function that we have. So, consequently, I've been through six administrations and a few periods where we didn't have leadership at all, and I would just like to offer the perspective and speak on behalf of the medical staff. I'm speaking in favor of Ms. Lucy's confirmation. When she came a year and a half ago, it was the result of a national search, which yielded the recommendation for Ms. Lucy to serve as the administrator. She walked into a very challenging situation, which I can say has existed in the entire 24 years I've been there. We do not look the same at all today that we looked in 1988. In 1988, we had catchment areas all over the city. We had a very strong outpatient component. I won't go into all the details, but I can tell you from a bird's eye view that there have been many, many changes, and they continue to occur. I'm proud of the services we deliver, and I'm sorry that the public opinion is mostly shaped by media reports that really are not founded on factual information. As a scientist, I completely understand and agree with your desire for statistics and information. Just sitting here today, what I'm witnessing, and not to sound too much like a psychologist, but what I'm seeing are two separate issues. The issue of whether Ms. Lucy is right for this position and a need for better communication and transparency. And I don't think that's intentional on anyone's part, but I am frankly shocked at the disconnect between what is actually happening there and the opinions that people have. We cannot move faster than we're moving, I'll tell you that for a fact. We have a lot of very hard workers. When Ms. Lucy came in, she brought in a lot of new positions, very talented people. She reorganized the leadership team, the director's team. We reviewed the recommendations of HSRI and many other bodies, worked with stakeholders, worked with consumers, developed a plan. There's a very clear plan. I am concerned that there's an impression that there's not a plan or that there's not progress toward the plan. We're working on the electronic medical record, getting Joint Commission accreditation. We brought in a specialized system for person-centered recovery. I sit sometimes in the mental health redesign and on the person-centered care team, the action team, and as a member of the Medical Staff Executive Committee, I can tell you that when I announced that County Executive Chris Abley was nominating Ms. Lucy for the position, they spontaneously broke into applause. And I'll tell you, for 97 members of a medical staff, doctors can be a little bit hard to impress sometimes, as you know. So what we have experienced is someone who came in, and I think it would have served her self-interest probably better to just move ahead, but she really took the time to listen. And I think before you develop the roadmap, you've got to understand the geography or you're not going to have a good map. I am a firm believer in roadmaps. I believe we have them. And I think that it's possible to separate the confirmation of Ms. Lucy as an administrator from the need for this information. I don't see them as necessarily tied together. No matter who's the administrator, we always need to have everyone understand and be on the same page. My biggest concern is something, a phenomenon that I don't know if it's apparent to people here because, well, we haven't all lived through the same experience, but I can tell you that it is extremely disruptive to our patient care delivery to have constant changes at the top. What I've experienced there, both in her position and the position above her position, is pretty much a revolving door with a few exceptions, punctuated by periods with a vacuum. When we have that, it sets us back incredibly. When someone comes in new, it takes a long, long time for them to understand. We have, I think, 8 or 9 different licenses. Every program is different. And you can't just embark on these changes without understanding all the regulatory requirements and working correctly. So it takes a while. Now, we've invested in that with her, and she, even though she can be a little strict at times, I will say, she's the first to come back and say, you know, I think I need to hear more about what you were saying yesterday about such and such. And then we explain the nuts and bolts of what it will mean to really move this service into the community, how it will affect the patients, et cetera. My concern as a doctor is good patient care and not disrupted by things that are beyond the concerns that they have, which are so many. These people are coming from very often broken situations, and the last thing they need is to feel the stress from above. So our job is to protect them from all this kind of thing and have them have a sense of continuity, that we know what we're doing, that they will be taken care of, and they won't be experiencing constant change. So my concern with any idea of laying this over or a national search is, I think, what a few people have alluded to. I believe that it will set us back from where we are now. We're making very good progress. I would be really happy for any opportunity or anyone I work with to sit down and talk specifically, and I'll just give one example. We downsized the inpatient acute units. We increased the community services branch. I hired 4 new medical staff for the day treatment program just to deliver services in the community. We specialized 2 treatment teams, one focused on the group of people with diagnoses such as schizoaffective disorder, schizophrenia, psychosis, the other on people who chronically are wanting to harm themselves, commit suicide. Those populations used to have the highest rate of admissions and the highest rate of recidivism going back into the hospital. They were high-end users of acute inpatient services. Since we increased those services in the community, and we have done research on this, I hired someone with a research background to collect data. And what we found is a 50% decrease in the readmission rate for these 2 populations. We also found a 25% decrease in the use of psychiatric crisis services for that group. So I'm very interested in finding out what are the right treatments for people in their recovery and how we can deliver those services. And I believe that we're on the right road. I, like many other people said, I'm sorry there seems to be such a disconnect between what's actually happening and the impression about what's happening. I can also say when we've brought in people from other communities, and this is sort of the phenomenon, like people don't vacation in their own state. Things are much more appealing from a distance. And sometimes we bring in someone new and they look more shiny compared to someone we know. But sometimes we look shinier to them, and we've had the experience of bringing in a medical director from Texas who wisely, like many wise people do, they do not transplant their family across the country. They come and see what they've actually said yes to, and within that 6-month period, they decide whether they're staying. And so bringing someone new in is not a guarantee that now we're on the road. And that person indeed left and went back to Texas within 6 months. I believe that Ms. Lucy knows what she's looking at, has the ability to lead us forward, has been doing that. And I think she's been holding us to the fire since the day she got there. I can't imagine anyone having any other impression. So on behalf of the 97 privileged medical staff members, I want to say beg you, but I'll try to be a little more professional. I ask you to please seriously consider not disrupting the leadership we have in place and going ahead and voting in favor of the confirmation of Ms. Lucy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete Carlson. Mr. Carlson, please.
Madam Chairwoman, members of the board, thank you very much. I wanted to just say a few words in support of Paula Lucy's nomination. I am the Senior Vice President of Behavioral Health for Aurora Healthcare and the President of Aurora Psychiatric Hospital. I've been in this role for the last 11 and a half years. During that time, I have worked with four different hospital administrators through BHD, Paula being the fourth. I was around and working with things when the master plan was being developed and then got finalized and put on the shelf, and we never implemented any of it. What I could submit to you today is that in the last 5 years, although it is not well known by the public, I think there's been a tremendous improvement in the mental health delivery system in Milwaukee County. I think these have been gains that are sustainable, that have been developed through partnerships with the private hospitals and some of the other agencies in the community. I think the redesigned task force, the studies, all of the information that has been organized and synthesized and presented back at one point and is now kind of in a holding pattern, in my opinion, due to the length of time it took us to get the RFP out and get the responses back and a chance to move that ahead. I believe now that Zia Partners is on board and we have the consultants working with us that we will begin to see much more progress than we've seen up to this point. But that's not to say there hasn't been progress. I believe there's been a tremendous amount of progress. It's just maybe not visible. I believe we will begin to see more tangible things happening now that we've got Zia Partners on board and we've got a capacity to really take the recommendations and get them implemented across the entire system. I think from a cultural standpoint, the cultural shift has been very positive. I've watched as the private community providers, not only the private hospitals, but the other agencies involved have done, I think, a tremendous job of really pulling together and helping to play a role in solving this problem. This is a massive, complex problem. I mean, I think you start peeling down the onion and you realize just how complicated things can get. The fact that we've made as much progress in the last couple of years, I think, really is a testament to the community pulling together. But really, from the standpoint of BHD, I think that Paula has played a tremendous role in making that happen. So as someone who's, you know, worked closely with Paula on the redesign and implementation task force, I'm very supportive of Paula. And I would, you know, highly recommend that to the extent you can do it, you approve her right away. I think any delays that we create are just additional delays in getting this thing done. And I do think this is a long-term project. I don't think this is one that gets solved in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months. This is something we'll be working on for quite some time. But I think that if we put the time and the effort into it, that we will get the outcomes that we're looking for. I feel very good about that. So I have worked closely with Paula for a number of years, and I'm a big supporter of her continuing in this role. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson.
I have a question.
All right. Supervisor Sanford.
Mr. Carlson, mm-hmm. You're involved in the redesign task force?
Correct.
You're co-chair?
Co-chair.
Can Can you tell us what the redesign plan is that the county board had asked for?
I think ultimately what we are going to get to, and I don't think we've decided at this yet what number of beds remain, I think what we end up with is a reduced number of inpatient beds for the most difficult patients that we have in this community that are not going to be well served by the private hospitals. And I think the in order for us to be able to accomplish that, we've got to have all of the private hospitals on board in being part of the acute care end of this. And then we've got to do a much better job of building up the outpatient and community infrastructure.
But how do we do that? I mean, we know what the problems are, and that, at the risk of repeating myself, what I'm looking for, we know we have report after report telling us what's wrong. We've made policy on this board to transfer to a patient-centered model of community-based delivery care. Now, we know all that. You know the recommendations. You've read HSRI. We've discussed it. We need the plan, a written plan, to tell us how we're going to get there in a roadmap. Because if without direction, we'll just flounder around and flail around on this thing forever. And as you mentioned, we've already gone down this road and done that before. And I am not interested in being involved in anything that is going to end up being a failure. And 5 years from now, these patients are no better off than they were today.
Two comments. One, I agree. We were at a teleconference call yesterday with Ken Minkoff and Chris Klein to start talking about them and their role providing technical assistance, helping us to get that plan organized. Number two, I share your opinion about not wanting to fail with this. I mean, for me, this is a personal thing, too. And I don't see failure as an option here. But I also know that if we don't continue down the path in a way that we can do this in a sustainable manner, we will fail and we will end up just like we have with previous efforts at this. So I understand. I get it. You know, one comment I may have made another time in front of this body is that I've been working in behavioral health for going on 25 years. I've never been involved in something in my life that's so much two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And to me, this process has been that. But almost everything I do in behavioral health is like that. And so, I mean, maybe I view it a little bit differently, but it's being able to see the incremental gains over time. And that's what I feel the best about.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. I believe now, Madam Clerk, that we have two motions on the floor. Is there just one, the layover? Okay. And a move of approval.
First motion is to approve.
Okay. So which layover one?
Take precedence.
I thought layover take precedence, too. So we need to vote on the layover.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, there was no official motion to lay over.
Okay.
It was discussed. That was going to be a question that I was going to ask. Were either Supervisor Sanfilippo or Supervisor Taylor going to actually move approval of a layover?
Okay. Thank you.
So right now what we have before us is the motion to approve.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Can you read? Supervisor Bowen, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we bring the first panel back up with Paula Lucy, administration? I still have some further questions I'd like to ask, if that's okay.
All right, we'll go ahead and allow that. That'll work, and then we'll get to the vote.
Well, I'm a little confused.
Supervisor Stanford?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a plan?
Okay.
Some people say there's a plan. Some people say that they're about to start a plan. If there's a plan, what is the name of it? Is the name data-driven action plan? And if so, is it being followed? And do you guys have the plan in your redesign committee? So, first of all, is there a plan?
Right. Thank you, Supervisor Stamper. I guess I would say this. I think that's a valid question, first of all. Is there a plan? However, I think what we're spending our wheels on an issue that, to me, has been explained. You move two steps forward, you move one step forward, two steps back. So to put something in writing has been a little challenging, what it sounds like. Again, we've seen lots of forward-moving initiatives come forward. I think Supervisor Romo West did a very good description of what those issues were and how we've attacked them. When I first came on, the very first issue that Miss Lucy had to deal with was the analysis of the facility, which was very complex, and I believe that took a lot of time and energy. And so I think she's done a really, really good job and been diligent about answering any questions that we have and following through on the process. Is there a plan? I'm going to have to say there is not one in writing, okay? But there have been items that have been addressed, and we're moving forward. I believe that to make a decision on Ms. Lucy's appointment based on that one issue is ridiculous, so to speak. And I hope that no one takes that personally, mm-hmm. but it really is. It's one issue. It can be resolved once her reappointment, and we can move forward at this point.
Right. It's just okay. One issue, but that's been the whole topic.
And right, and it's been belabored.
I agree, okay. But that's been the topic. Mm-hmm. And that's just one part of your duties, right?
Correct.
Okay, so we...
Of many. I'm sorry.
Right, so it's one topic. It's a very important topic. It's a very serious topic, but that is the topic. Mm-hmm. So I just want to know, in reference to the topic...
Yeah, thank you.
Was there a plan? So it seems to be there's recommendations, and they are they're making progress on the recommendations on this particular department, but there's no plan to follow or to submit.
The answer is no.
Okay, thank you.
And I would also want to make a point, and I think Chairwoman reminded me of this, but item number 18 will be a little more descriptive of what a plan could look like, and you will find that there will be an amendment at that time to put something in writing as well. So more details. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to get very clear and forgive me for not knowing this, but my questions are that I ask connect to were there actions that Ms. Lucy, Director Lucy, was supposed to take action on and did not? Are we actually talking about duties that were given out and not followed? And I've seen that in other departments or other situations, and I connect that to job quality or production. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be very clear. Were there recommendations in the HSRI audit? Is that the audit or whatever?
It's a report. It's a consultant's report.
The report, right, that were not implemented yet.
Ms. Susi, can you answer?
There are many recommendations in that report. I believe that we have moved forward on a number of them. Mm-hmm. The first one was to think about how we could move more clients out of the hospital. And so we've done that by looking at increasing our community resources, our CRC, our respite, the things that you approved, our discharge planning approach that you approved a couple of months ago. Those are the things that we're doing in order to achieve that goal, for example. Our ongoing discussions, as you've heard from Mr. Carlson, has been all about working together with private hospitals. As I said in my list, that really they're not my accomplishments, our team's accomplishments. We have a 37% increase in transfers to private hospitals. That was one of the things, for example, that was in that list. So, yes, there are recommendations that we're working. There are, I think, 11 key areas. In those key areas, we continue to make progress on each and every one of them.
How many would you say we're not taking action on?
Of the key areas, none of them. All of them we're taking action on.
Okay, in the key areas. And then
and let me just be clear, because as Supervisor said, not everyone's read that report. It's very sort of conceptual items in this report. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, by Tuesday do this. There's none of that. It's very conceptual approaches, and we've taken actions to move those concepts into action, to transition.
Okay. And you also mentioned there were 125 recommendations from the task forces or committees or planning around the redesign, and you consolidated those. When those were consolidated, how many recommendations do we have? How many out of those recommendations are not being implemented?
I don't have that exact number, Supervisor, but I can tell you, for example, one of our action teams, we have a number of action teams. One of our action teams is our community linkage team. What they suggested was they wanted to see us look to have a housing community liaison. That's in our 2013 budget. They wanted to suggest that we look at step-down housing. That's one of the things that we've been working on with the Department of Housing to achieve. So we're clicking those things off one as they come forth. We've had every single one of the action teams said we need to get more peer specialists into community agencies. One of the barriers to getting peer specialists into the community agencies is that agencies don't know how to work with peer specialists. They don't know how to hire them. They don't know how to what kind of job description to put in place. That's the seminar that we have in place at the end of September. So we're clicking through all of these recommendations and making progress on them all. And so you can't, I can't give an exact number of which ones we haven't addressed, but I feel like we're addressing most of them by the things that we're moving forward with. For example, there was another one that talked about making sure the clients got their entitlements. That's part of our discharging plan. That's part of our discharge activity, is that we've asked our people that are doing discharging planning to make sure people get their entitlements and that they can come to help them get through a 12th and Belit experience. And so we're moving forward on those things rather rapidly. But I don't have an exact metric for you, sorry.
Are you?
And it just seems that because it's not in writing, and it seems like we're doing a lot of guessing, and a lot of those things, to me, just should be in writing, should be metriced out, just to keep the committee informed. And we talked about this disconnect, and I don't like making decisions where I don't have all the info, where I don't know, and it seems that you definitely are qualified, but I'm looking at job performance. I just want to make that clear.
And I just want to make a statement that it's one minute area mm-hmm. out of many mm-hmm. responsibilities that Miss Lucy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said minute.
Really?
Yeah, patient because, care. No, not patient care, but I'm saying this responsibility that we are making a huge mountain needs to be looked at in a different way. It should not be a sole decision as to how we gonna, you know, determine if she's qualified or reappointed. So let's think about that as you're talking about all these things you need. Supervisor West and I have made apologize to the committee that it was our responsibility to help you connect those dots, and we failed. So we accept that responsibility. Needless to say, I'm going to have Director Cologne speak.
Thank you, Chairwoman and Supervisors. I just want to say that it is fair to want a plan. I think it's right to want a plan, and that's exactly what we're going to provide this board with, a plan. And because you're hearing a lot of things that have been done regarding the recommendations that have put forth, but I think it's fair to say you want to see that in a plan, checklist, timelines. That so we're gonna provide the board with that, so that you can see the progress that we've made and the progress we intend to have moving forward. That is something that we're going to work on with our technical assistance, with ZIA partners, BHD staff, and something that the county board will have. And this is something that the county executive wants to have as well.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Supervisor Mayo, and then Supervisor Sanfilippo, and then Supervisor Samper, correct? All right, in that order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the reason why we're having this conversation is because we didn't have the information. And I would like to have make sure my colleagues understand this is about a confirmation of a young lady who's coming back to Milwaukee County. A young lady who was a consultant, not an apartment head, and they decided to go out and research and bring her back. She's look on her qualifications. Do not mix. And I'm confused right now. If you want to have a layover, make your motion. If you have four people who want to lay it over, lay it over. But I'm not going to support a layover. The bottom line is, can you get us the information for before board day, an outline of where your plan is located? Can you give my colleagues on this committee the information? Because they are mixing apples and oranges. We are here for a confirmation for an individual to be the director of a department. And that's all I want. This, because we keep going over and over of one issue. Is she qualified? Yes, she's qualified. But my colleague gets the information, and the reason why we don't have the information is not because of Ms. Lucy. Mm-hmm. It's not because of Mr. Colon. And it's not because of the county exec. So we only have to point at ourselves. Let's move this on soon, please. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor
Sample.
Go ahead, my friend.
You can call me Mr. It's okay.
I got another word for you.
Yeah, I bet. You're probably not alone. Mr. Colon, can you tell us when we can have the plan that we've asked for since April of 2011?
Yes, Chairwoman Supervisor Sanfilippo, we want to make sure that the plan we submit is a good plan. It's a well-thought-out plan. So I would ask that you give us till November, so it won't be before the next board cycle, but that following November we'll work with ZIA partners, we'll work with BHD staff and in collaboration with our mental health task force, and we'll provide you with a roadmap of where we're headed. And also within that plan, we'd like to let you describe in there the many things that we have already accomplished regarding the recommendations that have been put forth already.
And so Ms. Lucy is here right now working under a contract. When does that contract expire?
It would expire as soon as she becomes an employee and confirmed by the county board.
But according to the terms of the contract now, when does it expire?
May?
March.
Or March.
Next March. Yeah. So the fact of the matter is there is no barn-burning urgency to approve this appointment today. She is under contract till next March. It seems as though the foregone conclusion of the committee is that she's qualified to do the job, okay? You haven't interviewed any other candidates. It's obvious you're not intending to put any other candidate up, so we don't have to worry about a hiring time. So my request, and I am of making a motion to request a layover, until we get the action plan so that we know exactly what's going on. Because while this is trying to be portrayed as two separate issues, it really isn't. We're asking to confirm a department head. But that department head so far has not followed the policies adopted by this board. So in essence, we're asking to rehire a person who isn't listening to us. And my opinion here, we don't have a failure to communicate. What we have is a failure to execute. Now, if we can get the plan and we're set that the policy of this board is going to move forward so that we know that the patients are going to eventually get the treatment that they deserve. And again, I want to reiterate, we understand this is a fluid process. We understand it's dynamic, and we also understand it's not going to happen overnight. But if you never, ever set goals, you will never accomplish anything. That's the point. So I will, again, my motion is to lay this over until November when we get the plan from the department.
Thank you, Supervisor. I think we have one more supervisor, and then we will have Director Colon respond.
Go ahead, Director Colon.
Chairman and Supervisors, I'm happy to forward later today, as soon as I get back to my desk, the report that was delivered in January that talked about the goals that had been laid out by the task force and show how some of those steps have been achieved. I guess a data-driven plan is something that HSRI has informed us of. We have taken to the community. They have weighed in and chosen their the goals that they would like to achieve. And then we have ticked off, because of that, things that we have addressed. If you're looking for a plan to a number of hospital beds that we're hoping to get to, I don't think we're going to be able to achieve that for you, because we don't know where that number is going to land. So I...
No, that's not it at all. I don't know if I'm speaking a foreign language. We passed the resolution asking for the plan. You know, for example, I'm obviously not a mental health care expert. One resounding issue we heard through all these meetings that we had is that our emergency room is the second busiest in the country with 14,000 admissions a year. We have an astronomical recidivism rate. We have an astronomical recidivism rate because we have no support in the community once the patients are discharged into the community. So if I were going to try to solve some of the issues and lower, take us out of the inpatient business, I would say, okay, we have to stop that revolving door from people coming in immediately. So one of the things we need to do is build up these supports so that when these patients are discharged, somebody's following up to make sure they have a safe place to live, that somebody is making sure they're staying on their medication, so that 2 months from now the police aren't bringing us in the front door. Those are the things we haven't seen. I can't give you that plan. I'm not a mental health care expert. But what I can say is we passed a policy that this is what we want to do. We're relying on you to tell us how we're going to achieve that plan, and we haven't seen the plan yet. And I understand this is taking on forever, so I won't make any more comments because I hope I've been very clear on exactly what I'm looking for. Just give us what we passed in this resolution, which once we approve it and once the county executive signs it, it becomes a law. It's been in April, it was over. It's been a year since we've asked for this. We haven't seen it yet.
My understanding is you received testimony today that we are reducing recidivism. We are allowing patients to...
Where's the data? You're just telling us this. I'm sorry, we're not taking you by your word.
I guess I'm disappointed that the report that we did in January, which was not from me but from the task force members, was indeed the outline of the plan, and it was a report, and it was based on the considered opinion not only of the experts but the community and the people with lived experience, which we've tried to be very sensitive to, and that really was the discussion that was put in place. I think a different plan that you're speaking about is more of an implementation plan, but the plan in terms of what is it we want to have accomplished was presented in January, and as Tia said, we can come back and tick off which of those things we've already done. And I apologize, I guess I would go with Supervisor West. When we've come every month and asked for things, when we came last month and asked to get an agreement, a contract with La Causa to do discharge planning, I probably did not make it strong enough to say, as we discussed in our plan for redesign, we need to decrease recidivism. This is a contract that's going to help us with that. So maybe I haven't connected those dots. But that's really where I feel like we're at.
Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't see the point of a layover. If it's because we're looking for a new person, we obviously in agreement that she's the most qualified. If it's because we're waiting on the plan, they have to develop it and get it to us. And then I would understand if you want to lay it over to see the plan, then make your decision on an appointment. But other than that, just like we have our person, and I don't really see the point of a layover if we're going to come back just based on a plan of one particular very, very important part of the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Stamper. And I just want to remind the committee that if we lay this over, it's not coming back in November because we're not in cycle, but it will come in December. So just keep that in mind. I think we have vetted out all of our questions and comments at this point. Everybody's good? Great. All right, on the layover.
Roma West.
No.
Mayo. Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Bowen?
No.
Stamper?
No.
Taylor?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
No.
Two ayes, five noes. The motion to lay over fails.
Thank you. On the approval?
Roma West?
Aye.
Mayo?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Taylor?
No.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
Five ayes, two noes. The motion is approved.
Thank you
very much.
You're welcome.